Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
As Mr. Sullivan used to say back in the glory days on CBS Sunday Night, a really big show. This is maybe the biggest since I've been the barkeep in the beer garden. He's rolling out some real star power tonight. Here he is, Vincini Distributing Beer since 1933, Gene Rybnicki. Good evening, sir.
Hey, how are you, Rob?
This is a big ticket item tonight. I am stoked.
I'm glad you're stoked. You know what? That might be tonight's catchphrase word, stoked.
Stoked.
I am also stoked.
Listening to too many Beach Boy records. Anyway.
No, that's not possible. You can always listen to more Beach Boys.
But man, this is going to be really exciting, especially you got one of the owners, as they say. So I'm really excited about tonight's show.
It's all true. In the interest of full disclosure to the audience, hi, I'm Gene from Vincini Distributing Company, beer since 1933. Our guest tonight, I spent a whole day with in a car 1 week ago today.
A whole
in
day?
In Western Pennsylvania.
Nice.
All true. So any rapport is not contrived. It's genuine, and we worked hard on a rapport. We had our back and forths, our calls and responses.
So the Western Pennsylvania hills are alive.
The hills are alive. Penn Hills is alive. North Hills is alive. Forest Hills is alive. Jefferson Hills, South Hills, the Hill District.
You did that all with no notes.
Are all alive.
Good stuff.
With the sound of brewing.
That's right.
Okay, so tonight's guests are from Von Trapp Brewing out of Stowe, Vermont, established in 2010. Vincini Distributing Company, beer since 1933, could not be more elated or proud or happy or glad to introduce this beer to Western Pennsylvania and these guests to our show this evening. Guys, you there?
Gene, good to hear your voice, my friend. Sam here.
Excellent to hear your voice. I recognize that voice. Other gentlemen?
Hey, Gene, this is Jack.
Okay, so we have Sam Von Trapp on the horn. Founder and owner of Von Trapp Brewing, and his go-to quality manager, and correct me if I mispronounce, Jack Van Papegan.
Perfect.
Nice.
That was really good, Gene.
We strive towards perfection here in Western Pennsylvania.
Make sure I'm spelling it right. I still have to refer to my phone every time I type his name out to make sure.
Oh, don't ask me to spell it, please. Okay, and in addition to being the quality manager, Jack is also a level 3 Cicerone. And we did talk about Cicerones previously.
One of our former broadcasts. Go right ahead.
Yeah. He is trained to know more about beer than you or I for our purposes here.
He's a top gun, the best of the best.
A sommelier, if you will, for beer.
Ooh. No corks to sniff, though, but pretty good.
We're going cans. Okay. They transport easier. They're better to recycle. Nothing has been bottle conditioned or aged, so we don't need any corks. I'm going to get right to cracking, guys. I've been practicing all day, cracking open beers, so this will sound good on the radio. Give me 1 second here.
This is the sound that people wait for the entire month.
Beer number one.
Get cracking.
Will be Von Trapp Brewing Kolsch Style Ale.
Music to my ears.
Now, As we crack this beer open, pour some, pass it around, begin to taste it. Before we get into the tasting notes, my associate here has referred to the elephant in the room, if you will, in the good Von Trapp name. How many times did you see Sound of Music?
I've actually watched it since we were last together. That was the first time, but I'll definitely watch it again.
That was the first time you ever watched that movie?
I've seen the great Julie Andrews, who I'm a huge fan of, do that incredible The Hills Are Alive, but I've never seen the entire until recently.
It's pretty unavoidable in our culture.
Yeah.
Anyway, so to recap, and correct me if I'm wrong, for those of you who saw the movie, there are some historical inaccuracies, but that's okay. It's a movie. We don't expect reality in a movie. But the Von Trapp family barely escapes Nazi Austria through Italy, through England, through Philadelphia, and end up in Stowe, Vermont, where they settle down.
Not Stowe Township. Right.
What's that, in Beaver County?
No, McKees Rocks.
Oh, all right. And start getting some farmland.
Right.
Build a home, turn that into a lodge, and many, many, many years later, they start brewing beer.
Not just any beer, though.
Particularly good beer.
Absolutely. And I've already taken the first swig. Delicious beer.
So, Sam, correct me if I'm wrong in that story, if you will.
You were spot on, Gene. As I knew, you would get all the facts straight. Gene, for anyone out there who hasn't met him, Gene is a smart man on many different topics. And I do have to correct you on one tiny thing, though. I'm pretty sure that we spent a week in the car together last Thursday.
It didn't seem like that. You know, tempest fugit. And I must say, Sam, as you are an astute and observant gentleman.
Well, thank you. I got to say, if you didn't hear my can cracking, it's because I just couldn't wait. I was pretty sure we were starting with Kolsch, so I cracked mine a little early. You know, I've been pacing myself all day. We've had some beer events around town. I've been very careful, but I wanted to make sure I didn't lose my edge for this. But I'm really excited to get in here and share our story. I'm really proud of the brewery that my dad created. It was really my father, Johannes, who's the youngest child of Maria and the Baron, after they were married. It was really my dad whose vision it was, and I was trying to get him to drink more craft beer, and he was wondering where the lagers were. This was back in the early to mid-90s. And fast forward to 2010, he started his own brewery, and now I get to help carry on that tradition. But I also have to say, you know, when we talk about that quality, one of the great things is our quality is only continuing to improve. And I just got to say how proud we are to have Jack Van Papegem on our team and how much I appreciate having him on a show like this, because I do love beer. And, you know, we have a brewery. We're in the hospitality business, but we hired people who know more about beer than we do so that we could make better beer than I would make by myself. And Jack is one of those people. So, Jack, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you.
Glad and Jack. Here. We have about 2 minutes to talk about this Kolsch we're enjoying.
Sure.
Please give us some tasting notes.
Yeah, so you'll know that this is an ale instead of a lager, which is kind of the outlier in our portfolio. But we brew because it's fun. It's traditional. It's, yeah, Pilsner malt is a base. Tettnang pearl hops, fermented warm at 60 degrees for, you know, up to 7 days. Then we lager it for about 4 weeks. So it's a... Definitely takes longer to make this beer, but it really shows. It's, yeah, bright, snappy, effervescent. You get subtle, you know, like pear, fruit esters. Yeah, just a nice, you know, pepper yeast or hop character. And, yeah, it's just dry, refreshing, fun to drink. And, yeah, just really, really unique one in our lineup.
So now, with you guys being new to the area and me only having tried 6 of your beers, do you do an alt beer?
We haven't for a while. I think we might have done one a while back. We haven't done one recently. I think we did an alt Bock at one point. I feel like it was before the pandemic. All my memories before the pandemic are hazy.
Yeah, I remember that. Just as long as your beer's not hazy, we're good.
No,
unless it's a Keller beer, right, guys?
Yep.
All right. We'll be back in the beer garden.
Von Trapp Brewing, Vincini Distributing Beer since 1933. Thank you. back in the beer garden, and your host, Gene Rubnicki. Vincini Distributing Beer since 1933. And tell them who we have in the beer garden tonight, Gene.
We have Von Trapp Brewing, featuring Sam Von Trapp and Jack Van Papagen.
Just say it fast, and it works. Sounds good.
And Jack, I defer to you. What beer should we be opening next?
I think Vienna would be a nice follow-up to that.
I feel similarly. I think that's the order in which I presented it, ideally, to you. So I guess the same next beer as a level 3 Cicerone.
You know what you're doing.
Poor Jack, I'm sorry. Jack, I can tell you guys, I've never, ever heard Jack tell anyone that he's a level 3 Cicerone, which is why I do tend to tell people about it. But it's just something we're really proud of, what he adds to our team. And I do want to stress, with his role as quality manager, he's not just testing the beer at the end. He is involved proactively at every step in the process, just as important as our head brewer, and they work really closely together to make sure that everything works all the way through, whether it's testing the ingredients as they come onto the property, testing the beer at every stage through the process, little tweaks of the recipe, and we could not do it without this man.
And thank you, Jack. I was looking forward to this beer. I got a variety pack back in November, December, and I was nursing it until the mother load arrived. The day my boss told me, after I asked him, did the truck come with the Von Trapp, I cracked open my last Dunkel within like 10 minutes.
Nice.
And they all held up quite well in my refrigerator after X amount of time. They're solid, solid, solid beers.
Awesome. We'll be sure to keep it coming.
Please. Please do. Next beer is a Vienna Lager.
Little darker beer.
Slightly darker.
Mm-hmm.
Stepping stone to darker beer. And gentlemen, please tell me about the Vienna Lager.
This is a really fun one to make. It's, 5.2%. It's a base malt of Vienna malt we get from Weyermann Maltings in Bamberg, Germany. And, what I like about this beer that sets it apart, a lot of other Vienna lagers out there are, like, dark, sweet, big, and chewy. This one's, a little tighter, crisper. It's got all those good malt flavors, but it still, finishes dry. It's drinkable. It's great with food. Just an all-around really, really interesting, complex beer that's still easy to take down.
So now, correct me if I'm wrong, the Vienna Lager was virtually lost in Vienna proper, the Pilsner having swept across Europe and nearly wiping out many styles, and the last bastion of the style for many years was actually Mexico.
There is some debate about that, but with the Austrian rule in Mexico, definitely brought this style of beer over there. But it was really the latest batch of American craft brewers that kept this style alive. And it's hard to find a Vienna lager if you go to Vienna, but they're slowly coming back. So we're strong proponents of it.
As am I. I find the Mexican variations a little more toasty to it. But when I open, I have not had a Vienna Lager in years. I have not found a Vienna Lager in years. When I tasted this Vienna Lager, I held it up like I'm doing right now and marveled at the quality of the Vienna Lager. It had been so long. It was like an old friend that I hadn't seen in like 25 years.
Welcome home.
One of the things I love about that style as well is just how well it pairs with food. So one of our partners here in Vermont just finds that's what he uses. If he's stumped for a beer pairing with food, he can always go with Vienna. He finds it just works with everything.
And I actually used Vienna Lager in the recipe for the hot dog special, for the hot dog that we were eating a week ago at D's Dogs. That was part of the craft.
Yeah.
You got to share that ingredients. I mean, if you don't share it here, I'm going to share it on my cooking show. This sounds...
I think there's two people that I can share the ingredients with, sir.
Please do so. This is very unique, and he came up with this all on his own. Go ahead.
Now is not the time. We're not in the hot dog garden. We're in the beer garden.
You're
we're
not
going to
reveal
with this.
Your trade secret.
Not at this juncture, sir. I want to know about these beers. I got these guys on the line for this amount of time.
8:05. I'll have that recipe tonight after the show. All right, go ahead.
Nah, Vienna Lager, it's a great beer.
It is a great beer. Delicious, absolutely.
So One of the things, after careful consideration and a lot of my own personal consumption of this beer, I've determined that the water is a humongous factor. Rob, do you know what percentage of beer on the average is water?
15%?
And it's like 95%.
Okay.
It's a lot more.
I took a shot.
So the largest, number one ingredient is water. And water is extremely important, frequently overlooked.
Hydration.
I believe your water puts things over the edge with this beer. So where do you get this magical water?
Yeah, Gene, the water is a huge part of the quality of our beers, and it's really one of our differentiators as well. You know, other people, if they're willing to, they can go out and get a Rolex brew house like we have. They can hire great brewers. But if they don't have proximity to an amazing water source, that's a real limiting factor. So we're just lucky. Vermont's got a lot of great spring water. We have a lot of rain up here, probably more than we wanted in the past year. But we've got an amazing spring. So our family home became a hotel, as you said earlier. We were at one point struggling with the reliability of some local springs close to the hotel. My dad went out, found some old 1898 USGS survey maps, found this blue dot that had a stream flowing out of it, went out in the woods, found the spring. It was still there, still flowing, figured out who owned it, bought that land, put in a pipeline to the hotel. It provided the drinking water for Trapp Family Lodge for, I think, 25, 30 years. When I returned to the family business in 2007, we switched to the town water for the hotel because we needed more volume. And I used that water for my snowmaking system for our cross-country ski trails. But when we were building our second brewery, you know, classic story, first brewery was in a retrofitted space. It had a spring nearby, which was great to brew with. But when we built the second brewery, we needed a bigger spring. We needed better flow. And we tested a variety of springs on the property. And Murphy's Law would have it that the one that was the furthest away from the brewery was the one that we most wanted to brew with. So we have a 2.5-mile underground pipeline running from this mountain spring straight to our brewery, runs all under gravity pressure. And, you know, I can let Jack maybe get into this a little bit more, but basically it has the perfect mineral profile for brewing the styles that we make, basically extremely similar to that in Pilsen in the Czech Republic.
Yeah, it's evident. It took a while for me to put my finger on it. In addition to using, like, authentic European malts and hops and yeast wherever possible, there was something else.
In the water.
And it turns out it's the number one ingredient in the beer.
That's awesome.
And the beautiful thing with a spring like this is we don't take anything out of the water. We don't put anything back in. It flows in. It's got that perfect mineral profile. We're not having to filter it. We're not adding anything back in. Unadulterated, deep mountain spring, which has that really fresh, vibrant feel. Similar to, you know, if people have driven through a mountain area where people pull their cars over at some sort of famous spring and, you know, fill up their water jugs when they're there. It's that kind of deep mountain spring that just tastes so lively on your tongue.
Excellent. Yeah, so I don't know, let's go back to Vermont, the Von Trapp family, and the brewery as much as humanly possible. We have about a minute left.
About a minute left. And where can they get this delicious beer?
I mean, anywhere across Western Pennsylvania that has purchased it at this point in time.
And when we come back, we'll be continuing with these fine gentlemen who are joining us tonight, correct?
Yes, without a doubt. We're halfway through our trip.
Still,
we got more beer to try.
Yeah.
That's next in the Beer Garden with Gene Rybnicki and Von Trapp Brewing on KDKA. We're back. Vincini Distributing Beer since 1933 in the Beer Garden with Gene Rybnicki. Gene.
Hey, Rob. It's time to crack open the next beer.
Number three.
We're drinking a Bohemian style Pilsner.
Bohemian style Pilsner.
Yes. It's the point of origin of the Pilsner.
And in the spotlight tonight, providing us with this incredible beer is?
We have Von Trapp Brewing. And we have Sam Von Trapp and Jack Papagan.
Three for three. Good job.
I might have pronounced it three different ways, as far as I know. So, while I'm cracking this open and pouring some for you, we'll talk about two of the beers that we will not, out of respect, two of the beers that we're not drinking here tonight, because we only have an hour, only have time to drink so many beers. We are foregoing their flagship beer, Rob, which is a Helles-style lager. It's a golden lager indigenous to Munich.
Well, here's the question. Why are we foregoing the flagship?
There's only so many beers, and you can go drink this at home on your own time.
Okay. And we'll have an idea on how you can have that delivered to your home shortly.
Yes, it's all true.
Stay tuned.
So, we're not drinking the Helles, which I believe was the first beer you brewed ever. Is that correct, Sam?
It was, and it was the beer that we created the brewery in order to brew. My dad wanted to have that crisp, clean beer, and to him, that was that Helles, you know, reasonable level of alcohol. My dad and I really enjoy having beers together. You know, we enjoy having beers alone, too. But it's just a crisp, clean beer, and you can have a bunch of them, 4.9%, only 20 IBUs. But you guys will have some of that soon. We did too good a job last week, and we pretty much sold all the beer. But you guys have another big order coming in soon, and there's going to be Helles on that order. And the Helles is in the variety packs for anyone out there getting it from the stores. But, yeah, that was the beer we made the brewery to make. But actually, the Pilsner that we're about to taste, that is now our best-selling beer. That won some really prestigious awards that I think drew some extra attention to it. And also, people know what a Pilsner is. You know, one of the big questions that we've talked about is sort of how do we educate people more on Helles? How do we get people to know what a Helles is? And Helles just means bright in German. It's just that bright, crisp, clean lager. And great one for, you know, watching a game or hanging out with friends where you're planning on having more than one.
Other beer that we are foregoing this evening is a collaboration with Trogs, which is a maple Dunkelweizen, which, Rob, as you know, of course, to be a dark wheat beer.
Say it again, please.
Dunkelweizen.
God bless you.
Sam, how's my pronunciation? Yeah.
That sounded great. I think your German is I think we're at about the same level. I can give a shout-out to Duolingo there in Pittsburgh. I believe that's corporate offices in Pittsburgh. Is that correct?
Oh, we did talk about that, and we didn't talk about you visiting Pittsburgh at all. That was one of my points that I'd like to talk about. But, yes, we have Duolingo. Did you know that?
I did know that.
And Sam Von Trapp's a big fan, turns out.
Sam Von Trapp has an 820-something-day streak going on his German right now on Duolingo. So.
Das ist gut, mein Herr. Sehr gut.
Ja, sehr gut. Vielen Dank.
So, Jack, I have a question for you real quick.
Sure.
What is the ethnic origin of your name? Is that Dutch?
It is Dutch Flemish from a little farming village outside of Brussels.
You know what? You should just quit while you're ahead. You've been like firing on all cylinders tonight.
I'm inspired, sir.
After three of those great beers, one more, you'll really be inspired. But you are doing a great job tonight.
Thank you.
Oh, well, thanks.
I don't handle.
Gene's kind of used to being right.
Believe me, I get that, Sam. Trust me, I've worked with him long enough. I just basically go, you're right.
Just roll with it. Just roll with it. Everybody knows it's good.
Yeah.
So what was it like, Jack? I think you probably worked more with the Trogner brothers than Sam, perhaps. I don't know.
I was in Mexico when the brew happened, so he definitely did. I know them, and we love the brewery. And the reason we wanted to team up with Trogs was because we both respect these traditional styles, and I think we have similar philosophies, and we've always had a lot of respect for Trogs, and that's what we try to do with these collaboration series is work with breweries that we admire. And they're good people, and that's one of the things. They got to be good people we work with. But, yes, I will guarantee you that Jack Van Papegum knows a whole lot more than I know about the brewing of this beer.
Jack, go.
And, yeah, the Trogners were awesome to work with. Their whole team was great. You know, it was a lot of in-person meetings, emails, back and forth. And, yeah, just really nailing down a recipe. And my kind of joke for the Stowe-style series is that it's hard beers to brew and even harder beers to sell because we are doing some of these, you know, esoteric styles. Dunkelweizen generally doesn't fly off the shelves, but we as brewers love to make them and drink them. So, yeah, it was just a great excuse to make, you know, something that you don't see very often.
You had John in town, John Trogner, that is, for a special event at the Teutonia Manicor, a release of one of their new beers, and I called him out on it and thanked him because I'm on the inner circle of people who can appreciate a good Dunkelweizen when I get one. Like, I took it personally. Like,
wait a second. You've been practicing or something. I've never worked with that. I've been doing this for 40 years at the world's first radio station in the history of broadcasting, and I've never heard anybody so seamless as I have heard you tonight. Your pedantic speech, each and every syllable is like perfect.
So, I've been well-versed in the language of beer since for 30 years, practically.
1933.
1994. I wasn't on board at that in 1933.
30 years.
Yeah, I've been around the horn. I'm jaded, if you will.
No, you're not. You're talented. Anyway, go right ahead.
All right. Yeah, so thank you about that. Let's sink into this Pilsner a little bit, shall we?
I've already sunk into mine, so why don't you sink into yours?
Well, I want to taste it, but I don't know what I'm about to taste or enjoy.
It's good. You're going to like it.
Are you guys sharing one glass over
there?
No, what's going on?
No.
It's awkward, guys. We're on the radio.
See, Gene does 1 hour, guys.
Are you wearing pants?
Yes, we are.
All right.
We're streaming live anyway on video, so that's the reason. If we weren't, who knows what would be happening
here
tonight.
Despite what the sign on the door says, we're wearing pants.
And in the beer garden, anything can happen because it's all good in this beer garden.
And it's in the beer garden.
Well, with this product, come on now.
So, you can taste the difference.
Absolutely.
Good answer.
And this Pilsner, this has become our workhorse. So again, it wasn't an afterthought, but it was not one of the first beers we made. We made the Helles first, and the Vienna, and the Dunkel, and as far as year-round beers. And then we added this Bohemian-style Pilsner, and it just took off because very quickly it won a silver medal at Great American Beer Festival and got a lot of attention. And then people know what a Pilsner is. So we have people who choose to pour our Pilsner instead of Helles just because people know what a Pilsner is. They don't have to ask, what is a Helles? So it's quicker for the servers. And, so this Pilsner's taken off, and it has become our workhorse. As much as my dad and I still love the Helles, but, I mean, we obviously love the Pilsner. But that is our number one seller by far.
And I'm assuming it's made with Saaz hops?
It is. And, yeah, why don't we let Jack get into the technical aspects of it?
Sure, yeah. This beer's another great one to drink and brew. And, yeah, 5.4%, 42 IBU. Really just getting down to the tradition of Pilsner, just Pilsner malts, Saaz hops. There are some other supporting characters in there, but these are kind of what we want to showcase. Really just dialing it in to let that water speak, let the hops shine, let the malt come through, and, yeah, just clean on the drier side and just a great beer to drink and enjoy.
I'm loving it. And now we'll follow this with a quick change and pivot. A question I did not ask you when you were hanging out in Pittsburgh for a week. The solar panels on your brewery.
Yeah, we've got a nice array on our brewery roof, and it's interesting. It's so subtle you barely even see it, and we kind of forget to brag about it. You know, our way is my dad. He's got a master's in forest ecology. He's always been very connected to nature, and he's been very much a conservationist. So we never felt that you brag about what you do environmentally. You do that because it's the right thing to do. But, you know, obviously these days a lot of businesses are finding that there are major advantages to bragging about what they do. We often forget to brag about our solar array just because, you know, it's just up there doing its thing. But it provides about half the power that building uses. That's for our beer hall restaurant and for our production facility. And it's great to have. In fact, I hope that we can add on to it down the line.
Yeah, and that was my question was, how much power do you get off of that? That's awesome.
You know, and I'm blanking right now on the measurement on that. I looked it up a few months ago. When we were getting ready to start bragging about it, we realized we finally needed to have an area on our website where we talked about our environmental initiatives. And back to what you said about cans earlier, Gene, that is so key as far as the benefits of cans for the environment. When a tractor trailer of cans arrives at our property, that driver feels like they are driving with an empty load in the back. It is beautiful not to be driving all that heavy glass around. Nothing against glass. I like drinking from a glass bottle as well. But cans are a nice way to protect beer and an efficient way to move it around. And as you said, they recycle extremely efficiently.
And with light being one of the primary enemies of beer, a can shades it from that.
All right, back. Another segment in the beer garden. Gene Rybnicki, Vincini Distributing. Beer since 1933. Time to get cracking one more time. Von Trapp in the building tonight. Gene Rybnicki, this is In the Beer Garden. First Thursday of every month, same time, same station. Vincini Distributing beer since 1933. Gene.
All right, welcome back to In the Beer Garden, everybody. We're about to crack open our next beer. Let's, without further delay, I've been saving what I perceive to be potentially the best amongst greatness, the Dunkel, which is a lager. Dunkel literally translates from the German to English to mean dark. And here we go. Let's crack it open.
Crack it open. Delicious. The pour. This man can multitask like nobody I've ever met, Jack and Sam.
I'm fixing a headphone jack, opening a beer while talking. So, Dunkel. Historically, I had always described Dunkel as the yin to Helles's yang. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jack?
No, that's a great way to put it.
You go to Munich, you go to a place, you order a beer. You don't order a beer necessarily by name because they probably make the beer at that place or they're consigned to sell somebody's beer. And you either want a light or bright or dark. And you say Helles or Dunkel?
Dunkel.
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 Das ist gut. Und Prost?
Das ist sehr gut. Ja, Prost. Yeah, this is an amazing beer, which it's really fun to see how versatile it is, you know. I like to drink a Dunkel and then go back to drinking the Helles and then go back to the Dunkel. And the Dunkel doesn't overpower the palate. You can still taste the Helles afterward. It kind of speaks to me about how the Dunkel doesn't overpower things and how the Helles can still stand up for itself. But this Dunkel was actually named Best Dark Lager in the World at the World Beer Awards just about a year and a half ago. And I'm not going to claim that it's the best dark lager in the world because that would be a really big statement to make. But I will say that when a panel of trained judges are tasting the beers blindly and they say that, we really appreciate the compliment.
And I perceive this as, at least potentially, not having consumed all the Dunkels in the world or tasted them all, if you told me this was the best dark beer in the world, I wouldn't be too surprised.
If you'd like to enjoy tonight's selection in the beer garden in the comfort of your own home, you can get them delivered to your door. It's never been easier to have beer. Beverages to You now delivers beer and bevs to your door in as little as 90 minutes or less in Allegheny County and select surrounding zip codes. Beverages to You also offers weekly or monthly shipments of your favorite beer and bevs. With Beverages to You, you can keep your beer fridge stocked at all times. That's Beverages, the numeral 2, and the letter U.com.
There we go. So what makes this beer taste different than the other beers? That's a Jack question.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's the same base as a lot of our beers. So Munich malt and then Carafa is a German roasted malt variety, and that's what adds that kind of like nice darker color to it, the cola, the cocoa, the chestnut, the coffee, the toffee, all those like great, you know, sweet aromatics, but the beer itself isn't actually sweet and heavy. It's still crisp and clean and drinkable, kind of like the rest of our beers, if you see a theme come through. But yeah, it's great. It's 5.7%. It's a little more robust than other Dunkel lagers, but yeah, we just think it really rounds out our portfolio, gives somebody a darker option, but something that's not too heavy with too much ABV. So yeah, again, just a great beer to have.
And I've always used Dunkel as a stepping stone beer. People who, back in the day, only like lagers. Well, here, try this lager. And they almost immediately say, well, is this a lager? Because it's dark. And there was a point in time where this continent, they didn't know lagers could be something other than golden.
Exactly. Now we have this great variation of dark German lagers, dark Czech lagers, Czech black lagers. You know, there's so much within that family that people haven't quite explored yet that we want to, you know, open them up to. So, yeah, Dunkel's a great gateway into that.
Well, Sam and Jack and the entire team of Von Trapp Brewing, keep up the good work. It's time for us to say so long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, goodbye. I leave and heave a sigh and say goodbye, but thank you. We'll meet again.
Dankeschön.
Bitte schön. Und Dankeschön. Guys, thank you very much. Welcome to Western Pennsylvania.
Hey,
Kevin, Dom, Gene. Thank you, Rob.
We'll try this again in the beer garden.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.